Joseph Lindsley is in Ukraine. Let's find out what the latest is there. Joseph, all I'm hearing about lately, Russian kamikaze drones, hitting an area near the nuclear plant there. What are you hearing? What's the latest?
Bob, good afternoon from Kharkiv, just about 30 miles from Russia. And indeed, last night, or actually early this morning, around 4 o'clock, these Russian drones, which we should emphasize, these Russian drones that Russia uses are made in Iran. They are supplied by Iran. In fact, the very name of the drone is Shahid, which means basically Islamic suicide bomber. That's what they call these drones. And that's exactly what they do. They fly, as I've mentioned before, slowly and stealthily through the night over the fields of Ukraine, seeking their targets. They move very slow. Ukrainians call them mopeds because that's what they sound like. And they hit in two western regions, in Helsinki and in Rivne. Air defense worked, but as always, when air defense works, it has to shoot the thing down. And so debris falls. Two small cities in the Helsinki region, there were 16 people injured and many apartments and places destroyed. And actually, they were these drones were very near the Helsinki nuclear power plant, one of several nuclear power plants in Ukraine. And so they did not hit the plant, but buildings nearby were damaged. And we see, two things here: the recklessness of the Russians in attacking nuclear sites. And secondly, especially as we look at what's happening in Israel and how Hamas attacked Israel and how Hamas is supported by Iran. Iran is also, allies with Russia. And of course, the Russian foreign minister was meeting in Tehran just yesterday. And it's almost every day, actually almost every night, that the Russians are using these Iranian suicide drones. But still, since in over a month now, there have been no major as I've said, it's no major Russian missile strikes throughout all of Ukraine. And so the longer, now today is here in Kharkiv, it's chilly. It's in the low 40s. So winter is coming. And, the Russians, that was their focus last winter, was to cripple Ukraine's electrical and gas and heating infrastructure and water infrastructure. So far, the Russians have not begun any type of attack. Are they waiting? Are they restocking, or is it because Ukraine has indeed significantly hurt Russia's ability to attack, especially with missiles from the Black Sea Fleet and from the Crimean Peninsula? Once again, about 15 hours ago, there was another explosion in that city of Sevastopol in occupied Crimea, where the Russians have for a long time had their naval fleet was based there. Another mysterious explosion. Just as there was the day before. And so we're watching that to see what might be happening here in Kharkiv. I haven't been in this city since the Russians hit it on October 6th, the day before Hamas invaded Israel. And the day before, 2 days before, the Russians hit a little village outside of Kharkiv, and they killed at least 59 people that were attending a funeral party for a soldier. And that really shook people here. Everyone in Kharkiv, the Russians were on the edge of the city in the beginning of the full-scale invasion. People are tough here. They've been through a lot. But that attack on the village that wiped out entire families followed the next day. Then the next day, just a few hours later, the Russians attacked the center of Kharkiv City. I see a new emotion here. When everyone that I've been speaking with, there's a mixture of anger. People have tears in their eyes. But sort of like with tears in unblinking eyes, I would say. And that shows the sadness and the fierceness. And today I took a walk on this gray, drizzly day. I took a walk to the site of that attack on Kharkiv city center. And, as I'm approaching, you can tell when you're getting close to the disaster scene, because you see more and more glass fragments on the sidewalks. The sidewalks are busy. There's people, taking their groceries, picking up a craft coffee, walking their dogs. But then as you get closer and closer, I saw the shattered windows, boarded up windows. And then I turned to see this intersection that I know so well, that I've walked by many times. And you see apartment buildings that look like a doll's house or a diorama, the facade ripped off, and you can see into the inside. And on those, in sort of those solemn blocks, you feel like you are in some kind of mausoleum. Where all that destruction happened. And it's, you know, this is, it might seem contradictory, but this is how Ukrainians are surviving, even despite that rage and sadness, and despite seeing that awful destruction in the center of the city. Every time I come here, including this trip, more and more places have reopened. So I was here about 3 weeks ago, and places that were boarded up 3 weeks ago are reopened, or new places have opened. So, you know, since, you know, so many people left February 24th, 2022, and soon after, but this city is coming back to life despite the attacks, despite the fact that because Kharkiv does not have the Patriot missile defense system that Kyiv has, missiles from Russia can hit at any moment, usually before the air alarms. Despite that, new shops, new restaurants, new cafes, new businesses are opening week by week. And so that you see the rage and the tears, but people are not running away. They're coming back and they're rebuilding even as this continues.
Sounds like that Ukrainian spirit you often talk about is still alive and well, but there is a weariness. This war has gone on for so long, and that is certainly understandable. Before we let you go, Joseph, I wanted to congratulate you and thank you. The Illinois Broadcasters Association announced their Silver Dome Awards last night, and you're a winner, my friend. Best radio series or documentary was the category, and the entry was the Ukraine Russia war, Russia launching an attack on Lviv. That was back in November of 2022. And what can I say, Joseph? And we so appreciate your reporting here. You take us behind the headlines and statistics. You talk about what life is like there. You paint those great human interest stories, and you make it so meaningful. So our thanks and appreciation to you, Joseph. And I pray for the day you come to Chicago and we can hand you your award.
Bob, thank you. It's a great team effort here, and I remember that broadcast well. I think we did two broadcasts that day because Lviv was in the darkness.
Yes.
And hit, you know, the Russians attacked the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And so thank you and everyone at WGN for making these reports possible. And by the way, there are some gifts from Ukraine on the way to Chicago for you and the team. So we can take that as a way to celebrate this award.
Yeah, I love it. Thanks, Joseph, and we'll look forward to talking tomorrow. And I'll mention while you're on the line with us, our thanks to Bill Murdoch's great engineering team for helping us connect with you every day. Bob Ferguson, Bob Fukuda, Mysterious Dan Long down the hall, and of course our producers in the control room every day, Joe Romano and Haley Boyd. And we're all in debt to you, though, for carrying the load on this, Joseph. Thank you.
All together. Until tomorrow.
Yes, sir.